Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Not Cool in High School podcast. And all I want to say is, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. Here we are, episode
118.
118, is that what it is? Look at us, 118. We are talking the movie Goodfellas, which we have a story about personally about our connection to this movie. If you have listened to it last week, then you know. But we're going to tell you again because it's adorable.
Oh, my God.
It's so adorable.
It's not even that serious.
All right. Whatever. Chivalry's dead on this side of the table. She says, I'm never romantic enough. I think I ruined her. So we're going to talk about some fun facts about this movie. It is essentially 1999 rated R movie.
1990.
What did I say? 89. Sorry. 1990 rated R movie. 2.5 hours long. Well, 2 hours, 25 minutes, but 2.5 hours.
I always forget
long.
That it doesn't seem like it's that long.
I know
it's long, but when you're watching, I guess you don't feel like it's that long.
The story of Henry Hill and his wife and his life in the mob, covering his relationships with his wife, Karen Hill, his mob partners, Jimmy Conway and Tommy DeVito, and the Italian-American crime scene syndicate. So that's essentially the premise. If you have not seen this movie and you're listening to this podcast, spoiler alerts for a movie that's been out since 1990. If you've never seen Goodfellas,
you should watch it.
Fucking shame on you.
Yes.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
It ranks an 8.7 out of 10 on IMDb, and that's 1.1 million votes. And the Metascore critic rating has been a 90. So does very, very well. It is casting Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta, recently just passed away, RIP Ray Liotta.
Yes.
Joe Pesci, Lauren Brock, Braco.
Lorraine.
Braco?
Brocco. I Brocco.
Yeah. Paul Savarni. I'm terrible at names, so I'm going to butcher some of these and many, many more. Some other names that you may know. If you watched gangster movies, there's tons of people in here that I'm probably going to miss that you're going to get upset with me. Scorsese's parents himself are in it. Debbie Mazar, who's your favorite, is in
love
this.
Love Debbie Mazar.
I'm trying to think of some other names here. Samuel Jackson makes an appearance in this.
What's his name? Hold on. Tobin Bell. Who plays Jigsaw?
Oh yeah, Jigsaw's
makes
in this
a little
movie
appearance
for your horror movie side of things. Directed by Martin Scorsese, was written by Nicholas Pelli, and it was based off the book Wise Guy, which was kind of based off of this events as well. What else we got here? Also, movies that this is essentially. So when we're gonna get into our horror thing, we don't have a plan for an episode yet, but we talked about our favorite horror movie is Scream. Yes. Like that's our favorite movie. And Scream is very similar in the aspect of Goodfellas, in the fact that it's the first movie that set the tone for a lot of movies after. So once Goodfellas came out and it kind of gave everyone that inside legit look of what happens inside the mob, it kind of loosened the reins on other people to kind of talk about it, because they seen that a guy snitched on the mob and was willing to tell mob secrets and benefited from it. So other people were like, hey, I got some stories, you know? And it kind of became a pop culture phenomenon. And then the kind of the birth of the mob movies really took hold and really went there. I mean, people say The Godfather, but I think Goodfellas definitely set the tone when it comes to telling legit stories. Because The Godfather was like, hint, hint, wink, wink. Some of this is in there, but some of it we've changed enough to make sure that...
Is that based off a real story?
Some of the Godfather events are based off real events, but they change it enough so people stay protected.
Right.
But like if
well,
you're...
Well, they changed some of the names in this one too.
Like some
the
of the
last,
names.
But, the last names aren't the same.
But essentially, this... Like a real heist happens, they talk about real people went to jail. Like all of this is about as real as it gets, where it's almost like a biopic.
Yeah.
And then... Casino spots.
It's one of the things.
Donnie Brasco, and then Donnie Brasco,
like a mom home movie.
Yes.
So like it's pretty. What do they say? Like 90% of it is like true.
Yeah, about 90% of the movie's factual. Yeah. Some things have been embellished. Some things have been added. A very famous scene is a completely added movie, but we'll get into
There's
that.
There's a lot of improv.
Tons of improv. But yeah, so if you are here watching live, please hit that share, like, join us in the comments. Tell us some of your favorite moments of the movie.
Yeah.
I know we're starting a little later than normal with her working, and we took the day and we relaxed. We're a little late, but that's fine. That's fine. When it's just two people, it's a lot easier to slack off a little bit, I guess you can say. Yes, so we will get into that. If you also, we do have merchandise. We're really pushing that only because we're at a point now where we shut down the Patreon for the network, and we made each page have its own Patreon. And essentially, by doing that, I threw away a pretty nice monthly check every month that helped paid for a lot of things to keep the podcast going. Full disclosure, there's only one person at this table right now working, and it's not me. I am working, but not as much as I would like to be. Summer's tough. Finding jobs in our not factory. There's a lot going on. We talked about my joint disorder and everything I go through. It's tough time. It's tough sledding for your boy. So if you can support by a t-shirt or doing a dollar donation or whatever the Patreon can do, I understand times are tough for everybody, but it would be very helpful if you support and like the podcast enough and you can do a couple bucks. It would be helpful. Between the StreamYard program we use and the Adobe, and we're really close on equipment to go do cool things that have benefited the other channels, just not this one quite yet. Like we said, we're going to start doing vlogs and things. That's going to happen. We just got to get time to that. We're together to do it. because when she's working, I'm out work doing things and doing podcast things and trying to make ends, like small chump change here and there. But the weekends that she's off, I normally am booked in wrestling shows and there's no pay there, but it helps.
It's exposure
and helps us grow so I can chase this dream. So this is my small pandering. I hate doing it, but we got to put it out there. So if you want to support the Patreon merchandise, the link tree below has a tip jar. You can do tips. If you can't do any of that, do it. A share, a review, a like. Telling people about the podcast helps out so much. So if you're willing to do that, thank you. The numbers have been picking up, I guess. You know, the beginning of summer, everyone's out and about, don't really want to listen to podcasts, but we're getting back there. You know, I mean, we're doing pretty well. People are helping us out. The big thing that we have goal-wise for our podcast is social media. We want to hit 1,000 on all platforms. I think we're pretty much there on almost all of them. I think we're still struggling on Twitter, but the big thing we're trying to do is YouTube. So if you're watching this on Facebook or listening to this on any audio platform, head over to the YouTube page, hit that subscribe button, hit the bell notification, help us out. Also, if you scroll to the very bottom of the page, it says pages you may like or page follow our friends. The first five pages on there are all our other podcast pages. So give us some support and help them out as well. And we can put the love across the board. But Heidi, when's the first time you were exposed or heard of the movie Goodfellas?
You always ask me questions like, when was the first time? And I honestly don't remember the first time I did anything.
Were you young? Were you an adult?
No, I was younger. Probably like middle school, early high school, maybe.
I didn't somewhere really around have, there. I didn't have parents who sheltered me of what I watched.
Mm-mm, me either.
But I do remember Goodfellas being a movie that I think everyone watched, like the adults watched on vacation. And then all the kids were told to go to another room, play with our toys.
Really?
Yeah.
We didn't go on vacations.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't.
No one ever told me not to watch anything.
Yeah, we didn't really go on vacations either. But I think when it was put out there, it was one of those movies like,
you can't
watch this is going to be really gory. This is going to be really violent. And this is going to have the most curse words of all time. Because that's kind of
Uncle Frank says you shouldn't watch it. Then you probably shouldn't watch it. Home Alone.
Oh, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. So I didn't see this until maybe high school, and then I watched it,
it might have been high schoolish. I don't know.
There was a moment there where I really was fascinated about learning the mobster life, and I was like, "Fuck, man, I missed the boat." This was
probably the first mob movie I saw.
Mine's probably The Godfather. I think I watched Godfather first, then didn't watch part two, which is crazy to think about. Then didn't watch part three.
I only saw part one, but I don't even know if I've seen the whole thing, just like bits and pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely one of the first.
Maybe I saw I don't know. Maybe I saw it first.
Yeah, I love this movie. It's hands down in my top five.
It's such a good cast. Like, and I think that's another thing with all the mob movies. Like, they always have, like, real good cast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And, oh, God, you go first.
Okay.
No, I was going to say, did you know Al Pacino was supposed to be in this movie?
Al Pacino was supposed to be Joe Pesci's role.
And he turned it down because he didn't want to be typecast. And then he ended up doing another same type of role in, was it Dick Donnie Tracy?
Brasso.
No, it was Dick Tracy or something with Madonna, who also was rumored, her and Tom Cruise were rumored to be in it too.
Tom Cruise was supposed to be Ray Liotta.
Thank God.
And Madonna was supposed to be his wife.
God.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have been as good. I would not have watched it a second time.
Yeah. Really interesting.
I don't think it would have been good.
Tom Cruise, regardless, he's a weirdo. He's a good actor.
Yeah, but I just don't. I'm not a fan. I just don't. There's very few things that I enjoy watching. And if it's something I've seen, I don't usually watch it
again. I don't think he would have fit the tone of it.
No. And Ray Liotta is just. Okay. So I do remember this when I first saw it. And I don't even remember what else I saw of him back then. But he always creeped me out. But in such a good way that, like, I just like to watch him. But he just has, like, this creepy, like. I don't know if it's his eyes or something, but he just always creeped me out. And I was like,
I always thought he had a weird upper lip.
Like, he's just scary. Like, he's scary, you know?
Yeah. His upper lip is something I always end up studying. Because it's like not there. It like sucks under his teeth a little bit. But listen, I love Ray Liotta. Speaking of being typecast, I don't think I'm kind of looking at it, but I don't see a lot of like other gangster movie. Like, he's done a few, but he
who?
Ray Liotta has.
Oh, this was like his first. Oh, so that was another thing I read too. I don't know if it's true, but I don't remember the lady's name. Some lady, and I think it was Robert De Niro. They put like a horse head or something in his trailer as like a welcome to the like the mob thing type of family. Yeah, I don't know if it's true, but I read that in one of the things I was looking up, and I thought that was pretty cool. Pretty interesting.
I'm looking at some of the stuff he's done. A lot of it's like TV stuff. He was in some TV stuff.
He was in a show that I actually was watching with J-Lo where they were basically like.
I'm saying early in his career.
Oh, yeah. This was like recently.
Yeah. Then he was.
They were like bad cops, like dirty cops.
I would say maybe his first hit maybe was maybe Field of Dreams and then Goodfellas. And then I'm trying to think of something that I've seen him in. No Escape was. It was all right, but it wasn't something I would like run out
that one.
And go do. Then he did like stuff like Operation Dumbo Drop. I think it was like a kid's movie. Copland. He was in the Rat Pack movie. He actually played Frank Sinatra. Yeah. The Rat Pack movie was pretty good. I think I still have it.
I think we do have
it. Do we have it? I have to go look. Then he did some fun things like Muppets in Space and Hannibal, Blow.
Show Hannibal? Or no, that's right. The movie.
He was in John Q. He played
got his head.
What?
In Hannibal. He eats his brain.
Yes. Also, he did the voice of Tommy in Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Mm. He
just did something new, like real recent that I saw, Blackbird, but I didn't get to watch it yet. It's like a show, I think, a mini series.
Yeah.
He was in it, but it was like right before he died, I think.
Mm-hmm. He always played like the bad guy in like a kid's movie.
Yeah, or like a bad cop, always a bad cop or something.
He was in Muppets Most Wanted. He's a good actor. That fucking Ray Liotta was the man.
Plays a real good bad cop all the time.
Mm-hmm. There's one here I'm looking at that I'm trying. Oh, he was in Hubie Halloween.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he played the jerk in that one too.
Yeah, he's always a bad guy. He's always mean.
Tying in our Adam Sandler episode last week. Mm-hmm. Into some did you knows. About the movie. Anything about the movie? We're not going to do a scene by scene like review or anything like that. But is there anything in the movie that like absolutely stands out? One of your favorite scenes, favorite moments of the movie? Can I guess?
No, because you already know. Because I feel like we've talked about it before. Go ahead.
The car where he drops her off after she gets kicked out of the car by the neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he hands her the gun. And like hide this, and she just no questions asked.
All of my girlfriends said,
if they would have went running
for the hills, if their boyfriend asked them to stuff hide a bloody gun. But I gotta admit, it turned me on.
And then she puts it in the fucking milk box.
I know that one gets me. Like that's the dumbest place to hide it. But like I don't know. I feel like I would have probably hit it too.
Good to know.
Like I don't know.
That's old Tony.
Weird. Also, I'm old Tony.
You get harassed by a dude. I'm beating him in the face with a gun. Also, sorry, internet. But
I mean, she was more than harassed.
Don't
I
you ever
like.
Fucking
he like
touch
threw
me.
Her out of a car. Like, but my question.
I like
is,
how his friend bitched
I thought
out.
They Don't were shoot. Together. I thought they were together.
I think so. Here's the thing. I think so it's like they were together, but not.
But why was she with the other guy?
I think they were just neighbors, and she goes, "I've known him my whole life. We were friends."
That's true.
But I think this guy only seen an interest in her once. Other,
well, he was a real creeper. Yeah.
Some guys keep girls on a leash, not like a leash, but like they keep them as friends. And then when other guys start showing interest, then they get weird about things.
Oh yeah, but they get mad when girls put them in the friend zone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the scene that I think I I don't know, because part of me, I'd be like, what the fuck? But then also like, all right.
My scene is so like the most nonviolent scene of the movie, which is my favorite scene. I like the first time he takes her. Well, I think it's a combination. I like when he gets stood up, which, by the way, why did Pesci roll in so hot?
Oh, he did. I thought she was driving at first. I do like that scene because you can see in his face that he's like, all right, I dig this girl. Like, I get her. Yeah. And I did like that one. That's a good scene. But I thought it was so funny too because I was like, is she driving? Like, but then she just pulls out the passenger side.
Yeah, Pesci comes in hot.
He comes in so hot. Like, she was probably screaming at him in the car the whole time.
Yeah.
Because she even says, like, I made him take me to find him. Like, she was probably yelling. He's probably like, get this bitch out of my car.
He's like, I hope he's okay. He liked you. That's all he would stop doing. He shouldn't stop talking.
He's like, I'm real worried. I'm worried something might be wrong.
yeah. But no,
Good for her that she rolled in like that and didn't care that there was a whole bunch of guys standing around. She didn't give a shit. That's a little crazy, though, if you ask me. But
he liked it, though.
He liked it.
Yeah, he's like, Liz Taylor eyes. But anyway, the scene where he takes her out on their first legit date.
Yeah.
And he takes her to the side door and takes her to the kitchen. What? And then brings her to the back. And he's dropping 20s in everyone's pocket.
Yeah. I was reading about that.
And then they put, well, it was a one-take scene.
No, it took eight shots.
It took eight
shots.
But it was a one-track scene. Yeah. It was shot in one take. Yeah. Like one continuous camera.
But it took
camera.
Eight because somebody kept missing their line. I can't remember who, though.
Yeah. But the fact that, like...
That was like a whole backtrack to like his child. And you know, I was reading it, but I forgot. I should have went back and like rewatched the scene because it said that it was a whole like, what do you call it? Thing to like his beginning scene where he's saying like all these guys, like they go up in their suits and they go to the back of the thing and they get their table and blah, blah, blah. It was like almost shot for shot of everything that he said that he admired from these guys.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
He got that backstage access. Getting the VIP.
Come on, Karen. You don't know what's up now.
Well, here's the thing. I love the scene where she kind of like takes it all in and then realizes that everyone's saying hi to him.
Yeah.
And everyone knows who he is. And she gets a table right up front. Like
they literally pull a table up.
Make a special table. And it's already
ready.
And
there's other people who are like, well, we can't get a table. And they're like, no.
Yeah. Not even the fact that they had to stand there and physically wait for a table. No. That table was set, tablecloth, everything.
In front of them.
Like they didn't have to like stand there for 5 minutes. No. Like it was
carried and put in a spot.
It was like, Henry's here, get it done. Mm-hmm. And then she looks over and these dudes are, here's a bottle on Tony. And then she's like, she looks at him. She goes, what do you do? And he goes, I'm in construction. Without even looking away, I'm in construction. And she rubs his hands. She goes, you don't feel like I'm a union delegate.
Yeah.
And she just leaves it at that.
But she has to know, like, this whole time. Like, first of all, he's standing outside with all these guys. Something shady going on.
Yeah.
And then all this, like, all right, Karen. Don't be
it's funny. Not like the mob
he
was
handed
a giant...
you a bloody gun and said hide this. No one else is gonna say hide it because they're not gonna think twice
she's
about
in denial.
It.
She's in denial. Now there are some 100%. Things about this movie that they don't fully dive into. So when Henry did not finish much of school. Mm. One of the things that they talked about,
he was like 13 when he started doing this.
Yeah. One of the things that he talked about is he was essentially undiagnosed with ADHD and dyslexia. Which
something else I thought.
Hey, you know, and he's like, school wasn't fun. Like they didn't know how to, they didn't know how to deal with kids with ADHD or with dyslexia. So you always were kind of told you were a fuck up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I got messed with. And he goes, I didn't have a place where I felt like I belonged. And then I started hanging out with adults and they're treating me like I'm one of them. So of course I'm going to choose that over school.
Yeah.
And then at one point in time, he was trying to get out. He was going to get out and he's going to join the military.
They don't show that in the movie.
They don't. He gets out of the military and falls right back into it.
Well, he fell back in even when he was in the military.
Yeah.
They said.
Yeah. And then he does his first heist and he was like, all right, this is my first heist. This is where I made my money. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my money. I'm going to open up my own bar and restaurants and some businesses and make a living. But all of his places then became hangouts for his friends.
Obviously.
And then the night the murder happens in his bar.
Bats,
which that whole sequence too was kind of different. Billy Bats, that ordeal happens at another bar. And Pesci gets upset. And the reason it kind of went down that way is because when Billy Bats was in jail, Tommy took over his racketeering businesses. And then when he came out of jail, he went to Tommy like, hey, give him back. And Tommy's like, go fuck yourself. They're mine now. And that's kind of where the thing went down and the disrespect happened and the argument happened. And then they essentially set this all up to happen in Henry's bar. Henry then was like, well, fuck, I'm here now. Like, this is part of it. Mm-hmm. According to Henry, and from what research I found, he didn't drop the gun, and it broke in his hand. He was beating him so bad with the gun that it broke in his hand. There's a little fun fact that we'll get later about they had to negotiate how many times a stabbing happened.
I saw that too.
But they never shot him. Well, they showed De Niro unload the clip in him. That never happened. They never shot him. But so essentially when you see the trunk close and Henry looks up, that's a legit thing because Henry knew at this point there's no getting back out of this.
Yeah.
He's now part of a murder. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the petty crime, the robbery, all of that extortion, all of that he could have.
But now it's murder.
Now there's a murder case and they murdered a made man.
Yeah.
So there's no escape. Like he knew at that point in time, I can't get out of this. Which is interesting.
I thought, not that it's funny at all, because it's terrible, but what's that?
Hey man, glad I could make the make the podcast. Absolutely, man. Thank you for hanging out, Chris.
Thanks for coming.
Make sure you hit that share button. Let people know this is a thing. And share it out to your friends. If anybody else in the chat, please say hi.
Let us know what your favorite scene from Goodfellas.
Yeah, tell us your favorite scenes from Goodfellas. Make sure you head over to the YouTube page and give us a subscribe as well.
The part where they're trying to pick up the body, he's like, I don't want to get blood on your floor, man.
Oh yeah, he said, I'm sorry, I got blood on your floor. Yeah.
Something like that. I was like, oh, that's funny. Nice.
The film was almost called Wise Guy.
Because it was
after the book.
Yeah.
Yep. What else we got here? Scorsese wanted the film to look like a 2.5-hour trailer. Actually, it did, but not until after.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like at first, it didn't.
Do you know what won the Academy Award that year for Best Picture?
I just read this, but I don't remember.
Dancing with Wolves.
Oh.
Yeah. And the only one to win an award for this movie was Pesci.
And his acceptance speech was only 5 words long.
Yeah, because he wasn't expecting to win.
He didn't know he was going to win.
Yeah, this was like groundbreaking and people were like shocked this was a thing.
Well, I took like screenshots everywhere.
Yeah, you have some stuff?
Yeah, I got a lot actually. Some of the stuff had to be left out, I guess, because it was so... His resume is too long to fit in a movie. So they left like a lot of stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot that went down here.
We talked about the Copacabana shot. So there was stuff.
I like how this website says the first fun fact about this movie is Henry Hill was a real person.
I saw that one too. So Joe Pesci's character, he had like his attitude down, but we talked about this earlier. He was actually like 6'2" and weighed 225 pounds.
Tommy and De Niro's character were both big dudes.
I only read about his.
They're very imposing.
I saw.
Yeah.
He was also in his like 40s when he shot this, apparently, Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
And his character was only like 28.
At the time, yeah.
At the time. Well,
at the very end, they make De Niro's hair white. They make him look like an old man a little bit.
No, I'm talking Pesci.
Yeah.
Pesci's character was only 28, and he was like in his 40s when he shot the movie.
Yeah. During the screening, audience members walked out the very first scene when Pesci's character stabbed Billy Bat 7 times with a kitchen knife. Sources eventually cut the 7 stabs down on screen to 4 on-screen stabs, and 3 additional stabs occurred off-screen, although you can still hear the sound of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scorsese had the soundtrack already in his head. Mm-hmm. The soundtrack for Goodfellas is iconic, a rich sampling of popular music over the course of 3 decades, according to music editor Christopher Brooks. Scorsese had planned out the songs he wanted 3 years before the production began. Goodfellas at the time was one of the most expensive soundtracks ever made because of necessary listings. Even Scorsese used the 32nd of a song like he did in the Rolling Stones Give Me Shelter. He had to pay for it. Also, fun thing about the songs of Goodfellas. One of the songs became a TikTok song. Mm-hmm. I don't know the actual title of it, though.
I don't know it either.
How's it go?
I'm drawing a blank now.
Isn't the Silhouette one?
I think so. How does it go?
I don't know. You were the one who said it. And I was like, oh, it's definitely sampled off that song.
Oh, shoot. I don't remember.
Way to go. I said, make sure you write that down for the podcast. Or make
you didn't write down either.
Keep a mental note for that.
I did keep a mental note, but I don't remember what it's called.
You didn't keep
it. I don't remember how, because neither did you.
Well, because I looked at you and said, put that in the bank.
You should know I can't remember anything anymore. I don't even know what day it is right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's thrown out the window.
We'll find it later.
Scorsese used his own experiences from the movie for Henry Hill's childhood. Yeah. So
I read that one too.
Yeah. He also casted real mobsters in the film.
Yeah.
So a lot of the extras were guys that were connected in some way or another to the organized crime family. Many of them actually knew the main characters in real life. And one of the extras would later be convicted for carrying out hits for the mob. The casting was Scorsese's way of blurring real life with the Hollywood. Scorsese would warn the cast about those people ahead of time so that they would be shown proper respect. I don't know the guy's name, but there's a guy in the movie that they show, like he's like Fat Tony or something, but that guy ended up becoming a hitman for John Gotti.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and he was
one
in
of them
Goodfellas.
Got arrested too later on.
That's probably
for
him.
The heist. I think it might have been him. Yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Go ahead.
Scorsese's parents are both in the movie, mm-hmm. which I think is pretty cool. And so his mom plays Tommy's mom in the dinner scene, which is 100%.
I never see him. I'm go back to bed. I'm not going to bed. What do you guys want to eat? What do you want to eat?
Yeah. He said, I guess he told her it's supposed to be all improv. Like all he said was like, she didn't even know someone was in the trunk. Like she didn't know anything. It was just, they're coming for dinner.
Yeah.
Make dinner. That's it. And the picture that she pulls up, which I think is hilarious because you never see it. And she's just sitting there randomly. She's like, oh, look at this picture. Like out of nowhere. That was the guy that wrote the book. Hold on. Nicholas Pileggi's mother. She painted that painting.
Yeah.
Which is pretty
looks
cool.
Like someone we know.
And the father, his father is the guy in prison
making the sauce. And his actual parents
with too many onions
made all of the food on set.
And the
actual sauces. Like, so the sauce you see on the stove that he's stressing about when he's at the end and the helicopter's there, that's sauce that his mom was making.
That's cool.
Yeah. And Scorsese said that no one knew how to properly do the ties and the collars.
Oh yeah.
So his mom and dad were the only ones pressing the collars because he wanted to make them look authentic.
And he did the ties. He like tied Ray Liotta's tie.
Ray Liotta knew how to do a tie the proper way. I don't even know either. De Niro had the real Henry Hill on speed dial. And Henry Hill said many a times that De Niro fucking annoyed him.
He would call him like 8 times a day.
He would call him so much because he wanted to know every mannerism, how he did things. He was so into that
about
character.
Jimmy, yeah. And you know what? When we were rewatching it earlier, something caught me off guard when he was putting ketchup on his food. And I was like, why does he roll his bottle like that? And then when I was reading it, that was one of the things. Like, he wanted to get his walk, his talk, even that.
The way he holds a cigarette?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Like, he held it so weird. He literally went like this. I was like, no one does that.
That was just weird. All of those small details see De Niro do in this movie is because he picked Henry Hill's brain of like how if he sat at a bar, if he leaned at a bar, did he sit this way? Did he lean against this way? If he were in a bar, would he be at the head of the bar? Would he be like every small detail?
Yeah.
He pulled out of like, he's like, I'm doing a scene today here. I don't think Henry, like, it'd be interesting to know if Henry was on set, if they brought real people who were involved in the mob on scene.
I'm guessing not.
Like, that's probably not a good spot for him to be, right?
Well, I don't think they were actually, well, they were in the mob, but not like they were like, I don't know. They were like associated with those same people, but I think all those people were dead.
Yeah. Not all.
Well, no, maybe not by then, but
yeah.
I don't know. Cause that would be weird. I feel like that wouldn't work. They would kill him, obviously.
Yeah. There was a lot of people up till his death were not happy with Henry Hill.
I'm surprised that he managed to be out in the open and public.
I think by that time, the organized crime family got so demolished that it wasn't something.
I read somewhere that he was also shocked that he didn't.
It's probably a huge. Well, so one of the things I'll say about Henry, not so much a movie thing, but a Henry thing, is I started learning about. Actually, I think that's probably where I got the idea to watch the movie Goodfellas, is because every morning on the way to school, because I went to a different school, my dad had to drive me like 30, 40 minutes to a school before I came back to the Monty area. We'd listen to Howard Stern. Like Howard Stern, if it was on the car, me and my dad listened to it. And I remember them being a guest and it was a guy they kept yelling at for cursing, and he was completely drunk. And I was like, this guy is crazy. And they kept saying the movie Goodfellas, and this guy was a gangster, and this guy was this. And I was like, I'm hooked. This is cool. Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, yeah, that's the real guy from the movie Goodfellas. And I go, what the hell is Goodfellas? And he was like, you've never seen Goodfellas?
How do you expect you to see that at that young
age? I mean, you have to realize, like, I was kind of on my own doing my own thing. I know,
but
so.
Still, like, as a parent, you shouldn't assume you're...
Yeah, so I think that's kind of what put me on to Goodfellas. But one of the things they always said is maybe his alcoholism was because of, you know...
I mean, I feel like after doing all of that stuff and being involved in all of that, if you come out without any bit of... issues, like it's
regardless of people are just like, oh, that was probably easy for him to rap, but like he turned probably because he was pretty much essentially knew that his friends were gonna kill him,
right? He was definitely gonna, then he had nothing left.
Yeah,
like he didn't really, I mean, not that he didn't have a choice, but he had a family who he couldn't take care of, and everyone was turning their backs on him already.
He essentially went from being offered everything, given everything for free,
nothing.
To get in the side doors, never had to wait in line. Everything was handed to him. He pretty much was like a made guy.
And
in New York.
Was also like in the middle of a full blown drug addiction.
Yeah.
Where he was like,
well, that's essentially what killed the Italian mob was drugs.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. They didn't
all the old timers were saying, stay the fuck away from it. Let us like, and essentially that's what got the US government more on the heat of the Italian mob, because they were the big peddlers of the drug game. And they were essentially a huge reason why a lot of black neighborhoods had the crack epidemic, because the Italians would bring it in, they'd dump it in the black neighborhoods, and then a lot of them then started using themselves. Mm. And they're a huge reason why a drug problem became so prominent in urban neighborhoods, especially in like the big cities of like Chicago and New York and Pittsburgh and Philly and stuff. It was essentially mob rat. And the government, I mean, I don't think the government so much cared about the urban neighborhoods because it's our government, but there was too much money being made and not enough accountability for it. And they weren't getting
taxes.
They weren't getting a cut.
Yeah. Okay. So Goodfellas is famously, or they're famous for their high. Can I say the F word? F word count.
Fuck. They say fuck a lot.
Yeah. So it was like 300 times. And then,
it was the record holder at that point in time.
For like 30 years or something like that. And then
Tarantino broke it.
Well, Scorsese broke it himself with Casino, which was 422. And then Wolf of Wall Street was 506.
There are three of my top favorite movies. Wolf of Wall Street slowly became, it was described as the modern day Goodfellas, because it was based off of like, it wasn't mobster, but it wasn't mobster, but it was a true life telling of like crime.
Something. Yeah. I have another one. So when he meets Debbie, well, I guess they don't officially meet. He's at his girlfriend's house and all of her friends, Debbie Mazar's there. And the part where she's backing out and trips and hits the wall, that was completely an accident. She tripped over the camera dolly, but they left it in to make it like.
She was so enamored by him.
Yeah. To like lead, like take whatever.
She's so pretty.
She's so pretty.
Those eyes.
I love her. And I love her voice and her accent. I love it.
Yeah.
Everything she's in, like, I just love her.
The how the fuck am I funny scene
actually
happened to Joe Pesci in real life. The famous how am I funny scene was actually from a real life event where actor Joe Pesci used to be a waiter. While waiting on a mobster, Joe Pesci told the man he was funny. Then he got a lesson of emasculinity right then and there. The response was for his sass. Scorsese loved the encounter so much that he decided to shout it, even though it wasn't in the script. Pesci and Rio, they both knew that it was going to happen in the scene, and they improvised and rehearsed it beforehand. But Scorsese deliberately didn't inform the other actors and surrounding them of the actual shoot in order to act and have a natural reaction. Because a lot of people knew in that scene, too, that Pesci's character was slowly turning into this.
He's like a wild card.
Yeah, and that Joe Pesci addition to the movie helped his character so much, because it was like, whoa, he's going to turn on his buddy here. Like, that's his guy. Like, he's completely lost it. You know, I honestly, the funny scene to me is not the best part of that scene. The scene is when he's getting the story of him getting interrogated by the cops and getting taken into the station cracks me up more than the how am I funny. Like, the actual thing that made him funny to me is the best part. And then when he's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, he wanted me to baptize his kid, because he gets called out for the bill.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great scene. Yeah. So good.
I feel like that's a funny scene too. I don't know. I just love that the funny guy scene. Like, it's just, I feel like that's one I've definitely quoted a lot. And then that's how you know when someone else is like a fan, because they know it and they like go back and forth.
Well, that's a scene too.
I've done that with somebody and I was like, yeah.
That's a scene too that has been used so much mm-hmm. in pop culture. Like,
well, there was something about that. The one guy sued The Simpsons over using something in there, and I think he might have won. I can't remember.
It was used in cartoons, mm-hmm. like, and some with two pigeons. I've seen the highlight of that. It was used in Family Guy. It's been used so much. That is the Goodfellas scene.
Such a good scene, and the meme of like real laughing.
So good.
So Michael Imperioli, who played Spider, when he gets shot, he falls and he hits his hand on the counter and breaks the glass and cuts himself. So he went to the hospital and they thought that he was shot because he had a fake gunshot wound. So he said, I went to the hospital, but had bullet holes in my chest and blood everywhere.
Because he cut it real bad.
Yeah.
Like, he cut himself so bad that the people on set were legit nervous.
Yeah. So he said, well, he had blood from the gunshot wounds, everything.
His hand was cut so bad that they weren't like, let's take the fake bullet things off because your hand's that bad. We need to get you there right now.
So he says, so at the hospital in Queens, they think I'm about to die. They think it's some drug hit, and I'm trying to explain to people how it's my hand and I'm okay, and they think I'm delirious.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because it was so intense. That's the cut on his hand that they didn't have time, or they panicked enough that they didn't realize that they're sending a guy to a hospital for a hand, but he still has all the fake blood all over him from a scene where he, like, so if you look down at Ray Liotta, he looks up and goes, he's shot, he's dead. Mm-hmm. Like, Ray sees his hand fucked up. Like, they know he's hurt bad, and he still played it off. Fun fact, Spider then plays in Sopranos, and there's a scene where he goes into a bakery, and the guy cocks off to him and he shoots him in the foot and he goes, it happens, or something like that.
Yeah. There was a guy, Tony Lip, who I'm not sure, I have to look back and see who he played. He's the only character that also appeared in Goodfellas or The Godfather and The Sopranos.
Who?
Tony Lip.
Wow. Scorsese gave his actors conflicting directions on how to create tension. Mm-hmm. And one of those scenes was during the scene where Pauly takes control of the restaurant. Scorsese tells actor Tony to improvise more, and didn't tell Paul Sorvini that the actor was about to change his entitlement from anger from confusion, and he brought emotions from the finished scene. So like when he gives him his money and goes, I have to turn my back on you now, he was expecting, I guess he was supposed to be expecting like him to get angry. Mm-hmm. And when he didn't, that's when Ray got like emotional and he started crying. Like, he know, like, oh, I'm out now. Also, there was a scene.
Oh, and he slaps him too.
When they're in the yard and he goes, I know what you did in prison. You had to do what you got to do, but stay away from it. And Ray's like, okay. And he slaps him in the face. Yeah. That was improv. And Ray was like, oh shit, he slapped me in the face. Yeah, so that was
a lot of improv.
He also, the actor who plays Pauly, every time he was on set. So if you look at scenes where people are laughing on, like, there's a scene, I believe, when they're all on a table and they're all laughing.
After Henry Hill gets the money and he's like,
and he's distributing the money. Yeah. Yes. He would tell a joke before every scene. And after so many takes,
he ran out of jokes.
So some of his jokes got real corny, and then it actually made people laugh because how bad they were.
I got a corny joke for you.
Go ahead.
Why can't you hear a pterodactyl go to the bathroom?
Why not?
Because the pee is silent.
I hate you.
I told that at work the other day.
Oh, here's a good one.
Okay.
During the filming of this production, Ray Liotta's mother died.
Yes. Yeah, I read that too.
And he said one of the scenes where he really, really channeled that. Mm-hmm. So Ray Liotta's mother died from breast cancer during the production of the film. And Ray Liotta used his anger over her death to drive his performance, most notably during the scene where he pistol whips Karen's neighbor, Bruce. Mm-hmm. According to Mark Evan Jacobs, the actor who plays Bruce, he got legitimately hit on one of the takes.
Yeah, I read that too. And there was another one, but I don't remember what. But that was sad. And like, I think he was back like 4 days after his funeral or something like that. Like, it's insane.
Not a side note, just I kind of talked about it a little bit on other shows, but not on this one. Have you heard, like, I follow a lot of like science stuff. I like science and like when they fucking come up with cool things. So they've been doing clinical tests on a new drug or a new thing that's for cancer research. And they gave it to 15 like cancer patients right now. And it's in like clinical trials where they're still trying to like see if it's good or not. Out of the 15 people they have given this to, some with extreme cancer, some with mild, some with low, all 15 are in regression. like no cancer, not even like a hint of it, just gone. So they're thinking maybe by the end of this year, going into the next year, we legit might have the cure for cancer.
But don't they have to study it a little further to see like if it could come back?
These have been under so when you're in clinical trials, you're close to the end. So it's all been tested and done. And I guess obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, they tested it on these people, but you don't know that that's a lasting effect. Like it could come back in like 3 years.
What I'm saying is they're not saying like as of this moment in time right now.
Yeah.
They just did it 6 months ago and they're clean. Like they're not putting all the information out. These people could have been given it to it years ago. And now it's saying that even 4 years later,
I feel like it's about time. Like, I feel like
all those soda caps, my grandmother's soda caps finally paid off. Oh,
the other day was George Jetson's birthday, birthday.
Yeah.
Like he was born
in 2002,
2022.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but also when we were kids, we were watching all this sci-fi stuff and where is all that?
Well, he was just born. Now time takes, you know,
are we going to have flying cars yet? Like, are we going to have, I was talking about this the other day.
I don't know if I want to be in a flying
car. I don't want a robot to clean my house because I'm scared of them.
You're scared of robots?
Yeah. Terminator's the only thing that scared me because they're going to kill us all.
How about the fact that there's a Google robot that they like have conversations with and they feel that it's become sentient, like it's become
going to kill us.
Like it has. Well, that was the one thing they asked it. They're like,
are you gonna kill us?
Are you like, then they're like, no, we have no intention to doing that. But
well, would they admit it? I don't trust anyone.
That's what Terminator would say.
I don't trust anyone. Yeah. Well, and like the new side tangent, sorry. The new Chucky movie, if no one's ever seen it, it's been out long enough.
I thought it was good.
I liked it a lot. And I think it's very realistic because
it's like an Echo Dot.
It's AI. Like, that's literally my fear. That's what's going to happen. All this
we're
technology.
Too poor to have that much
technology. No, yeah, for sure. But
unless my Xbox sprouts arms, I think you're fine.
It might. You don't know.
Like, we don't have like thermostats that are controlled by computers and stuff. Like,
thank God.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Too poor for that.
Remember that? What was the Disney movie when we were kids? The Good House or something?
No.
Remember?
Idea.
The kid won like this house and it like did everything. And then
I've never heard of that movie in my life.
I'm telling you, it's a real movie.
I've never heard of it.
It's real.
Okay,
this
I believe
not
you.
The Mandela effect. That's real. It's called The Good House or something. Yeah. He like, I think, or he created it. No, it's like a live person, like movie.
It's like
I'm going to find it. It's a real movie.
While she's pulling up a movie that didn't exist. Robert De Niro actually put the boots to Frank Vincent during the scene where De Niro's character is kicking Billy Bats. The kicks were real. The actor who played Billy Bats, Frank Vincent, was wearing padding. But even though he recalled waking up with bruises the following days. Also, Frank Vincent and Joe Pesci were actually like longtime friends and did a lot of comedy stuff together for a long, long time.
The guy, right? Billy Bats guy. Yeah. They did like a whole bunch. They were also in like a band, I think.
Mm-hmm. They were singers and stuff together. And they know each other for years.
But they go back and forth. Like this movie, he kills him. And another movie, the other guy kills him. And then there was another one that it was funny.
Yeah. I'm trying to think here.
Smart House. What's her name? Katie Seagal. She's the mom, or she's the robot, I think. The robot mom.
Yeah.
A boy tries to stop his father from by programming their computerized house to be a surrogate mother, but the house like takes over.
I've never heard of it. The real U.S. attorney is in the film. So Ed McDonald plays himself at the end of the film when he's prosecuting who brought down the deal for life for Henry Hill, later placed his family in the witness protection program. The classic reference in the final scene, one of the final shots of Joe Pesci shooting directly at the camera is a direct callback to the revolutionary 1903 silent film, The Great Train Robbery. It also ends with the criminal shooting the gun directly at the camera to an early 1900s audience. This was startling and thrilled. Was a thrilling way to end the film. And Scorsese used it for this because it was also like a robbery slash.
Right. I feel like when we watched the end of it again, I was like, man, I feel like every time I watch it, it's like on TV and I catch just parts of the movie.
Goodfellas?
All the time. Yeah. So I feel like I haven't actually seen the end in so long because I always just watch it like halfway through or like.
Well, I think the scene of him shooting is before he goes out and gets his newspaper. I don't think it's right after. Is it right after?
Because he looks out at the screen, I think, and he kind of just smiles and then it just goes to, I think.
Yeah. After screening. after, oh, sorry. The screen testings were absolute disaster. After the screenings, which were mentioned before, people walked out during the very first scene. The studio thought they had flopped there and had a flop on their hands. It was a consistent fight with Warner Brothers executives. Warner Brothers are hard. That's the worst company to make a movie for. Like, ask DC Comics. Mm-hmm. Executives for Scorsese released the film as he intended for the general public. It turns out Scorsese's instincts were correct, and the critics loved the film, and it was nominated for 6 Academy Awards. Unfortunately, didn't win any of them. Joe Pesci gave the perfect Academy Award acceptance speech.
Yep.
Pesci was the film's only Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, and his acceptance speech was notably brief, saying, "It's my privilege. Thank you. We're surprised we didn't drop an M. We're surprised he didn't drop an F bomb for good measure."
It was literally 5 words. It was like the shortest speech ever.
I don't think he was expecting to.
He wasn't
to win
because all the other people that were up for it were. Hold on, I just read it. The other people that were up for it were Al Pacino's Big Boy Caprice and Dick Tracy, and Andy Garcia's Vincent Mancini in Godfather Part 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I found the one about the Simpsons guy.
Go ahead.
Frank Severo, who played Frankie Carbone, filed a $250 million lawsuit against the Simpsons for appropriating his looks and mannerisms when creating the little scene Springfield mob associate named Louie.
Yeah.
That's it. Huge.
There's so much about like that heist and everything like that. Like I said, we're trying to stay so much more with the movie, but like if you really, really want to dive into the actual story of Henry Hill, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. We can do an entire podcast on the Latanza heist alone and how they were only expecting to go in there and maybe get like $600,000, and that's it. And they walked in. And there's $8 million there in cash and then another couple million in jewelry. You know what I mean? Like they were not expecting that to be as big as it was. And even like how they went about getting that. So they essentially had everyone planned and paid for. And just how it went down was crazy. And then the first heist they did, there was where he pretty much walked in, didn't have to fire a gun. They needed one guy's key, but they couldn't get his key because they couldn't get him to turn. So they knew his weakness was women. So if you remember in the movie, he's like, "Don't worry, we got it all planned out. We got it taken care of." Essentially, what they did is they got that guy drunk, brought him to a hotel with a prostitute. And when the prostitute started taking his clothes off, she essentially handed the keys out the door. They took the keys to a store. Oh, that's
like a real life story?
Yeah, they took the keys to a key maker, got them cloned, and put his keys back on his pants before he even knew why or what happened. So they didn't technically even need him then. So that's how elaborate they got to the fact where like they had a prostitute help them get the key off.
I feel like it's not hard to
pay
someone off.
Some of the stuff, like I said, if you really want to do the research and check all that out, it's really, really fascinating.
Goodfellas was the first 1990s film to make the National Film Registry.
What does that entail? I don't know much about the film registry.
I'm not really sure either, but it says it's created in 1988. The National Film Registry spent the 1990s securing the legacies of a century of film. But when 2000 rolled around, Scorsese's F-bomb dropping masterpiece was rightfully recognized as the first of the era to earn immortality. It joined the registry alongside 1931's Dracula, 1970's Five Easy Pieces, 1982's Quianisquatzi, 1937's Life of Emile Zola, and more older pictures. I'm not really sure.
So it was nominated for it was a winner for Best Acting and Supporting Role for Joe Pesci. It was a nominee for Best Picture. It was a nominee for Best Actress in a Supporting Role. It was nominated for Best Director. It was nominated for Best Writing Screenplay based on material from another medium. It was nominated for Best Film and Editing. And that's all just for the Academy Awards. I wonder if it actually says who won.
I don't remember.
They should really
I have one too. I read this in a couple places, so hopefully it's true. Ray Liotta turned down the part of Harvey Dent in Batman.
Oh.
The Tim Burton one. He turned it down to do this movie.
Yeah, I believe the year 1990, Dances with Wolves cleaned up. I think Brian pulled it up for me when we were traveling around. Because we were talking about movies and I think he said 1995. Because there used to be a podcast called the 2020 Awards where they go back 20 years and like 2020 hindsight and look back at awards and be like, all right, so out of the movies that won Best Picture, which ones now would probably win Best Picture after time has passed? And Forrest Gump won, like cleaned up in 1995. And the movie that probably everyone says now should have beaten Forrest Gump. And I get it a lot. Like Brian says, like Forrest Gump's a bad movie. He hates it. Oh. I like Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
But the movie it beat for everything was Pulp Fiction.
Mm.
Pulp Fiction didn't really win anything.
But I kind of see that because I feel like a lot of people don't. It's not really. So
here's one of the things I kind of pull back when I think of like art and mediums and stuff like that is like I'm a professional wrestling fan, right? And I'm a video game guy. Like so sometimes on the podcast, I try to talk a lot about video games, and then I would say things like Andy when he was here, or Nikolai, or you, and there's casual video game fans, and not everybody gets into it as deep as I do. Mm. And that's the same things with movies, and that's the same things with anything. Like there's people who are diehards, and there's people who are just casuals. And I think like the people who are the casuals, crazy enough to think about, are the main money makers to art. You know what I'm saying? So when I watch professional wrestling and I think, holy fuck, how do people like this? I'm not the majority. I'm not the one who's buying the seats and sitting front row for $8,000. And like those people eat up whatever is presented to them, you know? And I think about it, like my Uncle Paul and my Graham are huge movie people. Like they go to the movies all the time. They are giant movie buffs. And 9 times out of 10, if they're told that Goodfellas is in theaters or a Pulp Fiction's in theaters and the movie has a lot of cursing and vulgar language, they're not going to it.
Right. They don't like it.
So that's, and that's, I think, the majority of your money, right? So if you have money's a movie that's like a Dances with Wolves, which is like a war movie, feel good, da 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 da, and then a crime movie that's going to have people stabbed 18 times in the first 3 seconds.
Right, and lots of F-bombs.
Yeah.
Going to watch it.
But then you go back and watch it, and everyone's like, this is the greatest movie of all time. It set so much, it set the
so
tone.
Good, yeah.
But it didn't, at the time, it didn't win anything.
Yeah. I have another one. So in the one scene where they're in the restaurant, okay, and she says, Bobby Vinton sent us a bottle of champagne.
Yes.
That was actually played by Bobby Vinton's son.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Robbie Vinton. Yeah.
Yeah, so according to Nicholas Pegley, some of the mobsters were hired as extras to lend authenticity to the scenes. The mobsters gave Warner Brothers fake social security numbers. So none of them were traced for their paychecks.
I read it too. They don't know.
None of them received their paychecks.
Or they don't know how they received them.
Yeah. Or they don't know how they received their paychecks.
Yeah, because they can trace it, which is pretty interesting. What do we got over there in the chat?
Just pretty much people. Chris is telling us about, he thinks it's Put Your Head on My Shoulder, but I don't think it was Put Your Head on My Shoulder.
Might be.
Is it?
Maybe
I thought it was, and then it didn't kiss me, whatever.
Uh-uh. No, it was like the slow one.
I'll look up. You look up a fact. I'll look up the Goodfellas soundtrack.
I'm out of facts.
You're out of facts.
Yeah.
Oh, anything else in the movie that stands out that you're a fan of?
I don't know. I just like mob stuff. I like that it's like real stuff too. That like.
Where does it rank in your mob movies?
Probably number one.
Number one.
Yeah.
It's very up there for me as well. It's tough, man. I really like Goodfellas, but Donnie Brasco is really high on my list as well. And I really like A Bronx Tale.
Oh, A Bronx Tale is really good. Oh, wait, hold on. I just found a TikTok about it.
Mute your thing so we don't get copyrighted. Oh, sorry. Jesus Christmas.
It doesn't say what song it is, though. Oh, it's the one that says, like, oh, no.
Oh no.
But that
part's not in the song.
I don't think. You just said mute it.
So whatever happened to whatever happened to? Oh no,
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's a song. And it's when they're all with their girlfriends and wives and they're dancing in the club. Mm. That's when the scene was. Yeah, that's a song. The Oh No, Oh No.
Oh,
oh no,
I have
song.
One more fact. Her, what's her name? Lorraine Bracco. Her daughter, I think, puts one of their daughters in the. And her and Henry, what is his name? Harvey Keitel, I think, is her husband.
Oh, yeah?
I think so. Which I feel like I know that name. I just can't place it. And she was really shy, and she didn't want to give Polly a kiss.
If you actually watch that scene, she didn't give a kiss, and then a bunch of people were like going up to her, and she's like swatting at people.
They were not married; they were just together, I guess.
Yeah.
Was
Yeah, I this is hands down one of my favorite movies. It's probably in my top five, top 10. Oh,
Reservoir Dogs. That's who Harvey Keitel is. That's Harvey Keitel.
Oh, isn't he also in Red State? Mm-hmm. Or no, he plays the wolf in Pulp Fiction too, doesn't he? He's the guy that they call to clean up the crime scene.
I think so. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays the wolf. Yeah, not the guy from Red State. Which, by the way, I finally found the Red State on Blu-ray for an affordable price.
He was in the Irishman too.
Huh?
He was in the Irishman too.
Underrated movie.
Underrated. Oh, also, Robert De Niro is not Italian. He's Irish. Because when in this movie in Goodfellas, because when Billy Batts is talking about the Irishman, he's like, "There's only one Irishman here." Right? And then he's
well, it was two.
Else. Well, part Irish, I guess.
Yeah.
Part whatever, Sicilian and whatever else. But he's like, "There's only one."
Yeah.
It's him.
Irishmen were good enforcers for the mob, but they were never allowed to be made men.
Right. Him and Henry Hill couldn't be.
Yeah. Henry's mom was 100% Sicilian, but his dad was Irish. Yeah. And then Joe Pesci's character was
Al Pacino didn't want to be typecast, but he was an Irishman.
Yeah. I think he realized he's like, yeah, I don't want to be typecast. I'm good at this. Al Pacino's good at playing. So nowadays, people get casted for movies and they're like, you can't whitewash it. Why you can't cast it?
How did he play as a Cuban guy?
Two of Pacino's movies, he plays characters that he's not even the same race as. He plays a Cuban and he plays a Mexican with Carlito's Way and Scarface.
Ow. That wouldn't happen today.
Yeah, that would be changed.
Oy vey. What else we got? Oh, nothing.
Nothing new. Nothing new. Chat. Very slow night tonight with the engagements, chat. But I guess maybe it is what it is.
Well, I feel like Goodfellas probably isn't a lot of people's movie.
Well, we were going to ask the chat what maybe the next topic you want us to cover. We said for a while there we're not going to do like movie reviews every time, but that's probably what it's leaning towards.
I don't know. The one we should do more like last. That was really fun.
Like, what do you want to do?
I don't know, though.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You don't even like
cereal.
You don't even think of like.
Let's talk about cereal. Let's do a bracket about cereal. And we can eat cereal.
Not doing that. I hate that.
I couldn't find Rice Krispie Treat cereal. I can never find it. Life Cinnamon. Well, Aldi's Life Cinnamon. It's okay. Just as good.
So what are some ideas? We're not doing a brackets. Like a bracket's fine, but not. I don't want to lean on the same three things. You got to help me out. You got to help me out with some topics.
I'm trying.
We all are still doing the horror. Like that's something we're going to do. I had a lot of people hit me up and they're like, dude, I love horror. I want to talk more about horror. Like,
yeah, we gotta get on that one.
Yeah, Carrie is still on the talk in the chamber for an episode.
Maybe we can use that one in between, like a filler for this one until we find a topic. That's what we were supposed to do anyway, right?
So you want to do maybe a Knock Hole in High School, then a Knock Hole in High School horror, and then like kind of flop it that way.
You don't like that?
That makes sense.
That gives us more time to try and come up.
And then we don't have to like squeeze an episode, as a. Like, oh, Knock Hole in High School is dropping randomly this Saturday.
Yeah.
It stays on the every other Tuesday. I'm cool with that. I want to do that next. So that's how we'll do it. Starting now, it'll be a Knock Hole in High School episode. Then the following week, we will do a horror episode. And we'll flop it every 2 weeks on Tuesdays.
Okay.
I'm into that. Look at that. You came up with a cool idea for the show. Look at you. This whole time. Just leave me hanging. Now you came up. You dropped some major, major bucks there. That's a good move.
Okay.
All right. So in 2 weeks, we will talk about the original
Carrie
1970.
Hold on. Those are all yes.
78 sounds right.
I don't think it's right. Nope. That's not right. I totally clicked the wrong 1976.
76. You're close. Because Saturday Night Fever is not too far after that. Was Saturday Night Fever 78? Because Travolta was in this before Saturday Night Fever, correct?
1977.
Oh, right after.
You're wrong.
I was close. I was right there. I scratched the surface. So yeah, in 2 weeks we will cover Carrie, the original Carrie.
1976.
And then
what I'm going to be for Halloween. So I don't know what we're doing for Halloween, besides scaring kids outside.
If you're willing to foot a little
be
bit
a
of
pig.
No.
Why?
If you're, we can do like other like I was going to possibly do Freddy again, but I want to get like. The latex masks, the one that like.
But you gotta be on theme.
Yeah, we're on theme. We're.
You could just be the guy who's my prom date who gets knocked out by the bucket.
No, Wow.
Yeah, you gotta be on theme. Freddie and Carrie were not at the same time.
We're just we're horror movie people.
Or you can just pretend to be John Travolta up top and drop the bucket.
So I just keep dropping buckets of blood on your head all night long. There's blood all over the sidewalk.
I was thinking about the other day too. I could wear something on top with like a little mini bucket and like pretend, but actually have blood. You still have to drip blood on me.
You know, it'd be crazy.
I dressed already last year. I just never have to wear it.
We should fill up a bucket of fake blood and drop it like to start to like this. Like that's how you get the blood on you. Mm-hmm. Is it looks like a lot, really do it. And then when people walk up, they see like the blood splatter on the sidewalk, and then you're covered in blood just standing there.
You could do that, right? Like on the front porch.
Yeah. I'll stay normal. So at least...
No, you got to wear like a prom tux, like fluffy blue.
I'll wear a prom tux, yeah. But I'll stay normal so someone can give the scared kids candy.
Yeah, because they don't.
We need a balance.
Yeah, because they don't like scary things.
Yeah, not all kids like the scary shit.
Boo.
But I want to spend
raise your kids better.
I want to get at one point. I want to spend the $150 for the Freddy mask, but the one that like when you move your mouth, it moves with your mouth. Like,
yeah,
it looks authentic. Because I feel like the sweater I have is dope. The hat I have a legit metal glove.
Yeah,
I just need it. I don't want to walk
need
around.
A better mask.
Yeah, I need a better mask.
Yeah, that one's cheesy, but you got to stay on brand, on theme.
And one of these days, here's a challenge. Here's one of these things I want to put out there too. I probably have to get my measurement. I want to lose weight first. I want to lose weight. But eventually, like, it's been a dream of mine. I want to have a somewhat normal, realistic-looking bat suit.
I know.
So then I can... Because I want to do things with that. Like, I want to be able to go to, like...
I want more people to not be scared.
People are scared. That's the whole purpose of Halloween, is to be scared.
Why can't we just scare them? And then when they don't get candy, that's more for me.
No, because you're selfish when it comes to Halloween candy. You try to eat as much as you possibly can when the
no, I
in be there's more wrappers on the porch than anything.
I bought it.
We do this thing every year in Halloween, just to kind of put this out there and kill time. Is if we're getting close to the end of the night.
Yeah, this is not a wee thing.
I dump whatever's left over in one lucky kid's basket at the very end.
I don't have any parts of this.
She hates
it. Object every time, and I try to hide the candy in the house.
What was another thing I was gonna say for Halloween?
You know what? I did when I did the whole like Lilo and Stitch thing, I thought that was really fun, and I wanted to do more for that. Last year when we did Beetlejuice, I wanted to have like a whole setup, but I just didn't have time to do it.
Oh, we were talking about this on the wrestling show. Remember when they're supposed to make another Roadhouse and it was supposed to be Rhonda?
Yeah.
Now that's been recasted. It's going to be Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm kind of going through IGN news.
Right.
See what else we got here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we don't have any. We didn't talk about
Speaking of Scorsese, dropped an hour ago. What? Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio are returning for the seventh movie for their seventh movie together in a in The Wager, a naval survival drama coming to Apple TV Plus. Boo. Well, never mind. I'll never see it.
Apple TV. That's dumb.
It's really terrible. It's terrible. New Predator movie director hired Assassin's Creed Valhalla composer after playing the game. Yeah, the new Predator looks really cool. It's called Prey.
A game. Oh, a movie.
Yeah. It's essentially it's this Native American tribe during like the colonization years, like when they're about to get colonized. And during that important time and period, this girl, she's like a really, really good hunter, and she's out hunting a bear, and her first shot, she fucks up, and then like this bear attacks her, and she dies in like a beaver dam, and the bear's just tearing apart the beaver dam, and she's just like, I'm gonna get killed. And then all of a sudden you hear like the clicking noise, and then the bear disappears, and then she peeks through the dam, and you just see the translucent like the blood coming off the bear, like hitting the translucent Predator, and the Predator's holding the bear over its head and then slams it down. And then she goes back and tells her thing that there's something here. And in the whole movie, it's like this Native American tribe hunting this Predator.
Oh, you know what? I think it did. Also, I saw something the other day. I don't know if it's true. It was on one of my horror pages that, what's his name? Rob Van Dam. That's not the right guy, is it?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That's the one I meant, not the other guy. He was the original Predator, but he ended up getting the boot or something because he kept messing up the costumes or something like that.
Yeah. Batgirl movie canceled by WB. That's unfortunate.
Got a lot of new shows coming up that are like, well, not new, but like new seasons of shows that I watch.
Like what?
Reservation Dogs. It's about these kids on a Native American reservation. It's pretty funny. It's not like, I don't know how to explain it because there's not really a lot that goes on, but it's pretty cool. Like, it's cool to see like stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There is a, you know, Abby, what's her, I don't know what her whole name is. Abby from Broad City.
Yeah, Broad City.
She is making a League of Their Own series, like TV, really? Like show TV series on Prime. Yeah, and it starts on the 12th.
Underrated movie.
Very underrated. It's so good.
Here's the cool thing about where I think TV series sometimes beat out movies, and I think more people should look into TV series instead of making a 2-hour movie, mm-hmm. is because, like, imagine if Goodfellas was if they did that as a TV series.
It would be like Sopranos.
And you can turn that into more of what actually went down.
Yeah.
And not hiding, but
that's
like,
where I'm not sure if this is going to be realistic or like comedy. I don't know yet.
Well, it can still be comedy, but like, yeah. You can dive into why, like, people think of that movie and they almost forget the fact that it's only because this is during World War II. And all of the dudes were pretty much sent to war, and the women were here, and they're just like, all right, well, we need some type of sports or stuff to watch. So it was kind of like the woman rose up and did cool
That's
shit.
Why people forget about the movie, because they don't care.
Sure. But I mean, like, that can be talked about more. Like, yeah. I'm sure there's stories where that, like, there's probably more that each character went through in real life where, like, their husbands were sent off to war, mm-hmm. instead of just focusing on one or two people.
Well, yeah, because that was like a big thing. Like, they would be just waiting for the letter to come.
Yeah. And I guess maybe, like, that's just my thing with, like, with the interviews with everyday people, is like every single person you sit down and talk to has a cool thing. Yeah. They, like, you can take a freeze frame, like literally Goodfellas. You can take every single character who was part of that and talk to their, if they were still alive, or talk to their wives, family, or their grandkids or anything. And there's more to that, like, that dives into more about Polly and stuff like that. I love hyper-focusing on one person and being like, hey, my dad was part of this said story. I'm like, well, what was his experience there? Mm-hmm. Like, that, to me, that's fascinating.
I think, I don't know. I'm excited for the show, though, because A League of Their Own is such a good movie, and it makes me
What
cry
was the girl who
time?
They stick in the... They
Marla
stick in,
Hooch.
Yeah. And they're like, and here's Jessica and Marla Hooch. What a hitter.
And she's like way in the outfield.
Way in the outfield because she's...
But she gets married. She's like the first one. The rest of them are already married.
Because she wasn't like a
she
bombshell.
Guy. Yeah. But this guy's Marla like in love
Hooch.
With her. It's so cute.
Marla Hooch.
But the end, what I feel hitter. Like the end scene is like the best in the movie, because you have, like, they go to like the museum.
I think we just,
real life.
I think we just booked our next movie.
That's a good movie.
After the horror one, do we do A League of Their Own?
If you want to do a movie. I thought you didn't want to do a movie.
I mean, because we're fucking lazy and we can't.
I mean, we can turn that into, we could do that as a topic because it was a real thing.
Sure.
And then we can talk about the movie.
And how it turned into a pop culture thing.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
That's a good. That's really good.
A lot of cool backstories. Not just the movie.
It's a real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I sit here and just get, like, plaster drunk and be like Tom Hanks in that movie?
No.
You start crying about, there's no crying about A League of Their Own.
Such a good movie. It's such just a real, I don't know, real part of history that people don't think about, I guess. They just don't, I don't know. But the scene in the end gets me every time, like when they're in the museum, and then at the end where she shows up and they're all playing, like, those are real people. Like, those are the real women from, like, the baseball teams.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like there was a real museum. Like, it's really cool.
So another little bit of news. I don't want to dive too much on it because Heidi does not give a absolute shit about it. Is they announced the next phases for the Marvel movies.
Oh. Okay.
And they essentially said that the next Marvel phases, this is going to end, and then the next one's going to begin with Fantastic Four. And they announced Secret Wars. They announced Kang is definitely the main baddie of this series, which is, he's like a time traveler. And he has gone back in time and gotten rid of things. Like, he's like, I've been in different dimensions and different alternate timelines, and I've killed the Avengers before, so I'm here to do it again.
I just can't follow, like, I don't know.
It's a lot. It's one of those things
Marvel,
where I feel like
so much. And I feel like if you don't know it, then you're not going to know what's going on ever.
That's where I feel like the Marvel movies are good but bad, right? So, like, you want to watch a movie, but then you feel overwhelmed because all of us talk about how you have to watch all of these to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I agree, but I also disagree. Like,
well, you know, that's true, because I watched Black Panther and I didn't know anything else, but
yeah.
I like Black Panther.
But if, as a movie, it's yeah. I think that's the thing that I think maybe this phase, because a lot of people this phase are pissed.
Yeah.
Like they're like, this phase doesn't is not tying into the next movie. And it is, but not as forward as you would want it to be, because everyone fantasy books everything, like in movies, wrestling, pop culture, like this is how I would write it, and then they don't get what they would think the way it should be done, and then they're like, this is stupid. You know what I mean?
But I like them as standalone movies, but then when you get like the whole Avengers and everyone just keeps coming in and out, and I'm like, who's this, who's that, who's that, who's that, what do they do, why are they here, what's going on? I don't like
the new Black Panther dropped trailer.
What's the other one? Black Adam.
That's the
one. That one's coming soon, right?
Yeah, Black Adam, Black Panther. Black Panther's trailer. Whew, that was emotional.
I don't think I saw the trailer. It I don't watch a lot of trailers, though. I don't.
It was something.
Just see what happens.
Really good trailer. Really, really good trailer. If for me, I know a lot of people disagree, but Black Panther to me is probably one of my favorite Marvel movies so far.
I didn't watch all the other Marvel movies. It was so good. But I thought it was really good.
I thought it touched on a lot of cool things. I thought it was great representation.
I feel like a lot of people don't like it because of that, because they don't want it. They don't want to mix your fantasy stuff with reality. And that's why they have a problem with that.
Well, here's
because I know somebody who is constantly like someone who works always brings stuff up and he's like, none of that.
Why does race have to be brought in?
Yeah.
It?
Why does that? And whatever.
Well, here's the thing. If you look, and I'm not trying to play a card or make anyone upset or uncomfortable, but if you look at majority of pop culture, you're gonna almost be predetermined or predispositioned into watching a certain type of media based on your race. Like it's for the longest time, pop culture and most of what was consumed for most of pop culture has been very catered to white culture. And then now that like people are getting offended because Jordan Peele is only casting black actors for their movie, and they're like, well, that's bullshit. It's like that's been done forever now. Like now it's time for other cultures' representations to be shown in cinema, to be shown as superheroes, to be shown as different ways of media, because it is important. Like you said, growing up, like it didn't bother you, but a part of it did, where you're like, every Barbie I ever owned never looked like you.
They're
you
know, blonde. Yeah, I just wanted a brown hair Barbie.
Yeah, you and all you wanted was brown hair.
I know.
You didn't even care if it was Asian. You know what I mean?
I just wanted a brown haired Barbie, and then I finally got Teresa.
And you're 34 or 35 years old. Like
33.
Gave her a little extra. But I'm saying, like, that's just representation for a 33-year-old woman. Like, imagine being all around longer, like and being a person of color, like your representation has never been there,
right?
And I think it's important, and a lot of people don't understand a lot about other people's cultures, and I think it's cool that we're getting that,
and they don't want to have those conversations.
Yeah,
that's why they would rather not see it.
They think that they're brainwashing children into being more woke, and it's just like, no, it's just it's teaching kids about there's other things in life,
like
why do they got to bring their sexuality into it?
Because it's real life.
90% of you as parents are like, oh, my son himself a little girlfriend.
Yeah.
And you think it's adorable. But if your kid came home and went, I got myself a little boyfriend, you're like, they're teaching my kid to be gay.
You know what? So I was talking to someone about this the other day.
Like, it's so crazy.
Her daughter, I guess, whatever, TV shows, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, certain things she won't let her watch because she thinks she's still too young. And then other shows, I guess, she said something about that. And she said about that there's like homosexual characters or whatever. And she's like, that's not real. And I was like,
yes, it is.
It is real, though. Like, it happens way more than you think it does. Like, I think she, like, not that she's against it, because she even said she's not, but she doesn't understand being bi. Most people don't.
Yeah.
But she said, I guess she just doesn't think that it's as
out there
as it is.
Well, that's the thing too, is people are like, well, it's being shoved down our throat. It's like, not really. It's just
straight people kissing all the time.
People are more comfortable now being out.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. And that's what we need. It's not gay. LGBTQ culture is not being thrown in your face. It's just they're
treated equal.
They're being, well, I mean, to an extent, we're still fighting for that, but they're more comfortable being themselves. They're not,
and they should be.
Like, kids are legit. Like, we're willing to kill themselves rather than be who they are.
Right.
Like, I personally have no experience in it. Like, right. I'm very straight, I don't know, but I know at what age I looked at a girl and said, I'm attracted into a girl. And it was way before puberty. You know what I'm saying? So you're saying that, like, if your kid is exposed to media that shows the gay character that they're automatically going to become gay. Right. That is the most backwards thinking I've ever heard of my life.
Yeah.
And the only reason we're talking about this, we're not making it. This is pop culture.
Yeah.
We're still talking in a pop culture realm. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's so when I hear people say that, like, oh, well, like how many movies do you watch where just heterosexual love is always there no one bats an eye? Soon as it's not heterosexual, people are like, this is this woke Disney crap. Like,
yeah,
no, it's there. You're showing in pop culture and cinema that it's not that big of a deal.
Right. That it's OK to just be who you are.
Yeah. It's not like it's OK if a character has two dads or two moms. Like, it's not the norm, of course.
And you know what? I feel like let's guess it's on topic. I feel like our generation, I feel like, has the best time because we literally went from when we were young, it was all straight white,
Yeah.
Everything. And then as we started to get older, we noticed, like, I remember the first time I saw a commercial on TV with interracial parents, I was like, wow, I think it was like a Cheerios commercial. And I was like, oh my God, like, that's great. Like, and people were mad about it. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, I feel like we got to see that, like, you know what I mean? Like, the transition and, like, I mean, the backlash too, but, like, we got to see when things started to change to, like, interracial or bringing in all of the gay characters.
You know what's crazy? We talk about how we laugh at old TV shows where heterosexual couples weren't even allowed to show that they were married. Like, they just sleep in separate beds.
Yeah.
And then, like, we talk about how revolutionary Lucy was by putting the beds together.
But it was so
People don't even realize that, like, she also was an interracial couple on TV. Yeah. But they don't care. You know what I mean?
That, like, blows my mind. Like, I don't understand why. I don't understand why people don't think that's interracial. Like, it is interracial.
Sure.
There is not just black and white. Like, yeah.
Well, that's another thing, too. How many Asian culture movies have we been seeing recently? Like Crazy Rich Asians, like there was a huge boom this recent, like these past couple of years of just Asian culture getting some love.
And every culture, even like Indian culture, like there's the Native American because I've saw that show, and there's a lot of like other Indian stuff. Like, I think that's amazing. Like, I think it's so cool to see all of that representation for all of the new generations and the young kids coming up.
It's important.
I think it's so important.
So, super important.
And everyone should have their, like,
just pro wrestling. Just from the history of pro wrestling till now, we'll just break down WWE, which now encompasses a few other things because they technically own it. There's only been like 10 black pro like champions.
Really?
Yeah. For how long that's been around?
They always make their Indian characters like
everyone who's like, so 9 times out of 10, if you're a black, they stereotype it. Yeah.
I feel like that's insane.
Yeah. It's okay to lean into your culture, but not make it a complete stereotype.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what they do.
Yeah. It's always the foreign enemy.
Yeah. And I think that's terrible.
Yeah.
Because that's why we have people thinking the way that they do.
Yeah.
But anyway, what's his name?
Who? Context. I have no idea what you're talking about.
They didn't want to interview a guy.
Yeah. Wrestling still?
Yes.
Jinder Mahal?
Yeah. Yes. He was in a show that I was watching.
I'm a huge Jinder Mahal fan. I get made fun of so bad for being a fan of him.
Like a bodyguard guy. Like the
He's an awesome bodyguard. Look. He's a great look.
He's quiet. He never said anything.
Yeah.
It was cool. I was like, I know that guy.
Yeah. Cool. Another cool thing I just want to dive back into Black Panther is this one guy on TikTok was like, maybe I'm the only one reading into this and maybe I'm the only one.
Hi, Sharon.
Hey, Sharon. She said she loved that movie. It's been so long. I look over the chat. I'm sorry. I looked over. I didn't see anyone watching. So I don't know what time you came in or what time you left. But the this guy was like Namor in the movie. So they're going to show Namor. So Namor is essentially Marvel's version of Aquaman. He is the king of the sea. He's born into the sea. I believe his parents are man's god and one's not. I don't know. I'm not sure 100% everything on Namor, but anyway, Namor is Hispanic culture, and a lot of what they're going to do with the underwater culture is it's going to be very Hispanic based. So it's almost like Hispanic culture mixing with black culture, and essentially the white guy is the one who starts the fight between them. Is my theory, because so there's a lot of different theories, right? So I'm gonna kind of dive into the theory. So in the trailer shows the leaders of Wakanda and they're sad. There's a lot
when
of
you're
crazy
talking like underwater. You mean like Atlantis underwater?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's a whole civilization of underwater, like Atlanteans essentially, but they don't call them Atlanteans, I don't think, in Marvel, but they just call, like, so there's a whole nother realm down there of life. And always the earth are destroying the water by pollution and all this other nonsense. So
stop buying balloons, by the way. I heard this work thing the other day and there's a million balloons and I was so mad. I was complaining about it the whole time. I was like, all these balloons are going to end up in the landfills and the oceans and kill all the animals.
It's just a waste of rubber.
I was mad.
Anyway.
Sorry.
As we drink plastic bottles.
That was your fault. You bought them.
Listen, sorry. I have water for shows. So anyway, they show the loss and they show T'Challa and they show him, like, he's no longer with us. They don't really talk about how with them. I don't think they're going to dive into it, but I think they are going to acknowledge the fact that Black Panther character is gone. They're not going to recast him. They're not going to recast T'Challa. They're going to say,
I'm kind of glad that they're not. Like, I'm glad that they just, you know what I mean? Like, don't recast him as another person.
Yeah. I think some people are in the boat, like Andy's in the boat of, so if Robert Downey Jr. died, you would never cast Tony Stark again. You would make a new Tony Stark, or would you? And I'm like,
how big of a character is this?
He's the Black Panther. So it's essentially like if Bruce Wayne died, would you say, so
there's no more Batman.
Well, here's the deal. In this universe, Marvel has built a giant universe.
Oh yeah. So there's another one.
And his impact of playing, let's just say, the Batman version of the Black Panther has passed away. I can then turn around saying, sure, we can put the mantle on somebody else and keep the idea of Black Panther, but honor him by saying that character will not be played by anyone as long as this universe. Like, if they reboot it 15 years from now, make a new Black Panther, cool. But I think in this universe, I think most fans are okay with him being retired as that Black Panther. And the character of T'Challa not being used. So, end of Black Panther 1, Killmonger gets requested to get buried at sea. Bury me at sea with my ancestors, because I'd rather die in the ocean than be brought on land to be a slave, essentially what he said. So if they rewarded him, if they honored him by burying him at sea,
he's going to go to Atlantis.
Or someone has recovered his body, and there's always resurrection in Marvel. You can never count someone out unless you're Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben always stays dead. Everybody else comes back to life at some point or
another. I'm sorry. I just thought it was a random thing because you were talking about in the ocean and he's going to found. I read this thing the other day and I don't even remember where it is, but somewhere these bodies of somebody were in the ocean, but they never decompose because it's so cold.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
A little bit. Yeah. So anyway, they show in scenes of, like, there's a war going on and the water looks like it's flying the land. It looks like there's another form of an army coming in and raiding Wakanda, which looks like people are there for vibranium, which is like their metal, their resource, which people are thinking it may be Dr. Doom, because he sent there is a comic where Dr. Doom sends people there to get the vibranium, which eventually becomes the vibranium that takes over his body. That's why he's a steel face, because he does an experiment gone wrong.
Dr. Doom has a steel
face? Yes. He eventually has his body gets covered in steel. But then, and it gives him supernatural powers as well, because it's like, it's a resource that no one knows how to control except the people of Wakanda. And they actually show people go down in diving suits into the water. So people are thinking, well, are they going down to possibly recover
his body?
Are they people going down to attack?
But he got beat, right?
Michael B. Jordan gets killed. He loses in a fight, but he gets stabbed.
Oh,
but even T'Challa was like, we can save you. Like, I got you. We can throw you in the pit and you'll be good to go. Okay. He's like, no, I don't want to stay alive and be a slave to you guys, essentially. Cause everything he stood for was still just, but they have two different paths in life, you know? But at the very end of the trailer, everything's going on and they do a mix of Kendrick Lamar's song with Bob Marley, if Everything's Gonna Be All Right, mixed with Kendrick Lamar. I'll show you when this is done. It's beautiful. And at the end, the lyric is, you will rise, and then it shows the back of a Black Panther, and he just throws.
They're gonna bring him back to life,
and it shows him throw his claws out. But so people are speculating it might be either three women characters who are gonna take up the mantle of Black Panther, his sister, his mom, or this other warrior. Or
that would be cool though. If will they did it be as Killmonger?
Because technically, Killmonger won fair and square. Killmonger was Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, that's what I said. He won. I didn't know he didn't kill. I forgot that part. But
so essentially, they didn't like the way he was ruling. T'Challa came back and took over again.
Oh, right. Because he was a bad guy.
By rule of Wakanda,
he won
fair and square.
It would be cool to have his sister come in.
I think his sister plays another character later on. I think yeah. So
I don't know all the roles, but I think that would be a cool transition to like honor him by not replacing him right away. And also having a strong woman.
So all we see is
and then fight.
Well, there's going to be another strong woman who steps up in this movie. They show the announcement of a character who becomes Ironheart, which is essentially the new Iron Man.
Is it Viola Davis? Or no, she's somebody.
It might be. But it's a black female. She essentially builds her first Iron Man suit in this movie.
Love that.
And they call it Ironheart. And she's a really cool character.
I am. Some people don't like this stuff, but I love a strong, like a female,
a strong female lead.
Like,
that's why I think you like horror movies, because I think 90% of horror movies, for the most part, always come down to a strong female lead.
Yeah, I guess
most of them do.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
the women are always victimized and then they stand up and become strong. Like, that's why I said, like, we have a conversation before of certain things being used in horror movies and it shouldn't be talked about or put on film because it's so taboo. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll say.
I feel like
so murder is cool to see, but some people aren't comfortable with certain trigger things that are done in horror movies. You could use your imagination on what I'm saying. Because I think terms of service, you're not allowed to use that word.
It might be someone else.
But it also shows, like, most horror movies always end with the woman on top, like, are escaping or surviving their encounter. You know,
revenge movies. I just think it's empowering. I don't really follow all of the Marvel or like any of the superhero movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really follow them, but like Wonder Woman made me cry, like, just because it was just such a big deal, like, to finally have like a strong woman be like, she's the one doing everything.
Wait, do you see the trailer for She-Hulk?
Like,
She-Hulk looks sick.
I don't know. I can't, and I know other people hated it because they don't think that's like realistic or whatever, but like, it was just so good to like, I don't know, have that.
There's this whole weird movement, like, on social media too about genders and women and men and expectations of women. There's this really, I don't know, he's like this boxer guy. He just seems like a huge trash human being. But
this is the guy that's all over TikTok.
Well, he's a guy that's literally spending all this money that you join his brand and then you pretty much essentially promote for him. So he has this giant ecosystem of all these people promoting his stuff because he's rich. So he's like taking everyone's over social media and he's becoming the brand. He's essentially using his money to get his message out there, and his message is awful. And then like he has a message of like other dudes who are falling into it, and then like young men are just like, I'm not getting in relationships with women because women suck. Essentially, it's becoming like the anti-feminism movement harder.
God.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, you mean realistic, because that's how it's been generations.
And I'm sorry to get political again, when people who wear red hats got comfortable and they're like, I can say whatever I want and I can stand up for my freedoms. But a lot of people, like, no, I'm not saying everyone who supported Trump was that, but everyone who was racist and bigots and everything like that were the ones all wearing those hats. Like, and they were proud because he gave them the spark to be that way.
Right.
It's essentially more people are getting comfortable of speaking out against.
And that's terrifying. And honestly, like, I feel like that's how it used to be.
Sure. Sucks.
And that's to me, when
what's up?
When people say make America great, that's what I think of.
Well, I mean, Christian nationalism is getting huge again too, where they want the Bible to be the law.
Like, that's like, I don't.
Which is insane to me.
Makes me.
They're all about the Constitution. You're all about the Constitution, but also the Constitution says keep the Bible out of law.
Yeah.
Keep the Bible out of church and state.
Right.
And they're like, well, no, we don't. We like all the Constitution except that one. Like, that one we want
changed. That one we don't like.
Yeah. Not a fan of that one, because it says God. But also, trust
all of it was written by old white men who had slaves. So what are we doing here, really?
Yeah. Well, according to the Bible, slavery is okay too.
Jesus wasn't white.
Yeah. Don't break their hearts, you know.
Anyway,
so we took a weird tangent. We tried to do like a little filler after of just pop culture talk.
I think we should do A League of Their Own as a topic. Not
sure.
Not the movie, but the topic of it.
Not next episode. Next episode is gonna be horror. The one after that will be League of Their Own. So we're prepared for two episodes.
What was it called? American Baseball League?
Yeah.
Or
we'll talk about the movie. We'll use the movie as a reference, but we'll like cuddle with this. We'll do more research on researching about the history.
Yeah.
So you have 4 weeks to be prepared for finding things based outside the movie of A League of Their Own. I'm putting the ball in your court.
The American Baseball League, I think.
Sure. We will thank you guys so much for tuning in and enjoying the show. Let us know if you made it this far. Like I said before, you can always support our Patreon merchandise pages. Leave a review.
Oh, I have somebody to plug. I'm sorry.
Leave a review. let us know what you thought of the episode. We're open for conversation. We want to talk about anything.
Yeah. If
you want to join for an episode, let us know. Or a topic you want to join us on.
Or you want us to talk about, because we have a hard time with this for some reason.
between all five podcasts, well, four now, I don't consider interviews or other people podcasts anymore because it's kind of on a huge hiatus.
Yeah.
I think it'll come back once I finish.
I think it should.
I think it's going to come back when I finish the equipment stuff I want to get. So full disclosure, I'm sitting in about...
You don't need to high
ball,
that.
Highball, I have to raise about $2,000to get the rest of the equipment. I'm all about transparency. I don't hide behind things. I hate that.
It's not hiding. You just don't need to tell people financial stuff.
It's not financial. It's what I need to get to the podcast. Like, I want this to be something successful and that. And I'm just being completely honest. I want to get to that point where I want to get, I've been doing stuff with GoPros and I really like the way the GoPro is easy to carry around. Also, another thing with my disorder is it's very hard for me sometimes to carry 19 bags into a location and shoot. And not every time I can have Heidi or Nikolai with me to help me. So now if I could bring a backpack, give everyone wireless microphones and set GoPros up, three GoPros, I can still shoot interviews with everyday people everywhere. And if I don't have a spot where I can put on a table, I have clamps or magnetic things I can use, all the accessories that I want to get with that are in within that realm of the $2,000 of what I need to buy. Once I get to that point, and now we're finding a flow between this and Banging Beers and the other shows because it's less people and I have to take on more when it comes to social media once again. I'm finding that balance, finding how I can make my time adjust properly, as well as on the weekends go do wrestling shows and chase that dream of being a part of that business. You know what I mean? So once I finally get that down, I will do interviews with other people again. But I'm also going to be very picky about who I have on there because I'm done, the days are done of me having people reach out to me. And then I do all the work that I do to make the episode happen. And then they don't even share it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, cool, you promoted what I came on your show to promote and go fuck yourself. I'm not even going to talk about it or promote it.
You should be into it too.
Exactly. I want people. And because here's the deal. I'm not saying I'm not interested in your band, but I'm doing you a favor of giving you a platform for your band to talk. And I'm interested in your conversation. But if you're only using me as a pawn to get your band out there, but you don't give a shit about my brand.
It's weird that they don't support, like, you would think sharing it would help.
No, because people see how active I am on social media and they're like, oh, this guy's killing it because he's so active and he posts so much and he's so passionate about his project and he has a following because people like and share and comment and show him support. So if I get my band there, they'll just sponge and I'll suck all the, that's how people think it'll just suck all the fans away, but people don't realize that you still have to build trust between an audience. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm just, those days are over. So when I do interviews with everyday people again, it's going to be conversations that I want to have. So even if they don't share it, I don't care because the conversation meant something to me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm going to go about it.
I think that's what it should be because nothing against like the bands or anything like that, but I feel like,
there's still bands I'm going to have on.
To get people's story. And I feel like it kind of, it wasn't really like a story. It was just like, you're just talking to a band and promoting something they have going on.
Yeah. And I try to deep dive well, how did you get into music? Like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It is hard in this area for people to be forefront, like come forward with their information or their stories because we do live in a small community and a lot of people are very judgy. So I think a lot of people were very reserved of telling their stories because we live in a spot where you're going to see 90% of your people. And of course it goes on social media. So a lot of people are afraid to put their stuff out there and I don't blame them. You know what I mean? But
you could talk to me, but I don't have anything to talk about.
I mean, we kind of talked about a little bit of it, like you growing up you're not a white person growing up.
But I didn't really see it that much when I was a kid.
You grew up in a community that did have a stronger Hispanic culture.
Mm-hmm.
Stronger than my community.
I guess so. Yeah. But also in my school that I went to, was small. Like there was like,
you had more culture in your school in than
class.
I did.
There was like, there was like 12 kids in my class, and literally no exaggeration, almost every single one was a different race.
Yeah. So the only two different cultures or different races that I knew in my school when I graduated was essentially the Littles and the Welshes, and that was it. You know what I mean? Like, there was maybe a couple else sprinkled in there, but for the most part, they were it.
Yeah.
And Brett didn't even look Mexican.
No, I was going to say, it's literally just their mom and Jackie.
Yeah, mom and Jackie looked it. That was it. Everybody else is undercover. But yeah, so no, I think they're all fun, but interesting conversations to learn about people.
Yeah, but I don't have a lot of interesting stuff.
So. I know, you're boring.
I am.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for episode 118. Goodfellas. IWEP Network. You can go there, support the website, just follow us on all social media. What do you got to plug?
Okay, so I don't know what just it was. The other day I was off. I went to this little place in Pottsville called Hydrangea Cottage Tea and Gifts.
One more time?
Hydrangea, like the flower, cottage, tea, and gifts.
Okay.
I didn't even know this place existed, but it was awesome. It's like this little place, like, you know where, what is it, Garfield Diner? Yeah. It's like across from there. It's like a house.
Oh.
It's literally a house. And it's just this little shop that has a lot of stuff from different vendors. Like, he tries to do locally, like honey, tea, lots of Halloween stuff.
Really?
And Christmas. And he's just getting more. He's going to be getting more Halloween stuff soon. But it's so cute. And it's just like a house. Like, you literally just walk in and you look at all the rooms and the guys there. And they do little, like, tea parties, like, every month, I think. And they're like,
seems like we need to bring cameras there and start and put his business out there.
It's so cute. And they do like theme, like I keep missing it, but I'm going to try and make it to one of them because they do like a theme like every month, I think, for the little tea party. And you go and you get like little scones and little sandwiches and soup. And I like tea. I don't drink coffee, but I love tea. And yeah. I thought it was the coolest little
you
shop.
You can have tea parties.
Yeah, I want to have a tea party.
It's adorable. I want to give a plug to Billy Trey.
Billy Trey, my boy Billy.
He is slowly working on new music for the entire podcast.
Nice.
So he's going to be giving us music for horror, giving us music for Not Cool in High School, giving us music for Banging Beers, interviews with everyday people, and he already made music for Tornado Tag, which we used and then brought back.
Oh, cool.
Because we keep getting hit with copyright strikes and some of the stuff, and we're
get someone to scream for the horror.
But he's working really hard on it and I appreciate him so much. Also, we're going to be hitting up our artist Haley for a new Tornado Tag logo. Not new, but like we want to make a prominent logo where it's our main one,
yeah,
instead of having the talent face. Cause like some promotions have been like, hey, can we use your logo for the promotion? And then some people are like, well, we don't really want to use a certain face. Do you have like one not like using someone's likeness? And I get that. So the we're going to still do the likeness ones and support talent, but we're going to make like a main logo. That's going to always be our main logo. Maybe we could hit her up for a Not Cool in High School reboot logo, as well as a horror one. I know we kind of have an idea for the horror one. I think would be really fun. The Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein. The Not Cool, this one we're still kind of up in the air what we're going to come up with, but maybe we'll come up with a new rebrand there as well. But once again, that stuff costs money because we do pay our artists, and I want to pay Billy for his work as well. So once again, any support will go to that. We have a cool little rebranding. We're trying to figure things out between this and Banging Beers and the other shows, but we want to thank you guys so much for still showing support. We still have open seats if people want to come and hang out. If you have a topic, your guest seats that people want to come and hang out and do a topic with us. So
or
let
even
us know
if you don't want to talk, like if some people don't
suggest
want to be a camera, suggest something, and then you could talk to us in the chat.
And we can do stuff over webcam too. So if you're not technically in our area and you still want to join via webcam, we can do that as well. So yes, that's all we got. We'll see you guys next time. We love you. Spay and neuter your dogs, right? Or pets.
Yeah.
So they say, cool. Drink your Ovaltine.
Spay and
get to live the rest of my life like a Chinook.
Chinook.
A Chinook.
You are a Chinook.